Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 2-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you.
Imagine following your dream of becoming a physical therapist, only to need a physical therapist yourself. Well, that's what happened to Eric Galvez. After 2 years of being a physical therapist, he was diagnosed with a meningioma, which is a brain tumor. Luckily for Eric, it was benign.
And he has been in rehabilitation for the past 5 years since being diagnosed at the age of 30.
During this time, he has written a book about his experiences, what it's like being a physical therapist and now needing physical therapy. He started an organization called Mass Kickers, which helps other patients and their families deal with brain tumors and brain cancer. Let's meet this amazing young man right now. How are you today, Eric?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Excellent. So did I say that right? Meningioma?
That's pretty good.
Oh, excellent. So why don't you tell me, you know, how old you were when you were diagnosed and what led to that, and then we'll keep going.
Oh, sure. I graduated from physical therapy school in 2003.
Okay.
And I was diagnosed with a meningioma brain tumor in 2005 at the age of 30.
So were you able to work from 2003 to 2005, and then how did they diagnose it, or should we backtrack?
I was having a lot of symptoms. I had dizziness, numbness in the face, and headaches.
Oh my goodness!
And then it was pretty much when I got the numbness in the face, I was like, you know, something's going on here. I should probably get this checked out.
So numbness in the face, and then you went to the doctor, and they did, I'm assuming, a CAT scan or MRI or.
Yeah, well, they ordered an MRI, mm-hmm. you know, which was kind of odd because typically they do the MRIs in an outpatient setting.
Mm-hmm.
But my doctor was like, you know, you need to go tonight to do it, and why don't you go to the hospital to get it done? And, you know, I was thinking, okay, either he's pulling some strings or something's up.
So, exactly.
Yeah, it kind of scared me.
So they found the tumor. Now, where was the tumor? I mean, I know it was in your brain, but, like, what part of the head was that in?
Well, the tumor was located in between the brainstem and the cerebellum.
Oh.
The brainstem controls a lot of the unconscious body functions, you know, like breathing, heart rate, and stuff like that.
Oh.
And then the cerebellum controls, like, your fine motor control.
Okay.
Not in a really good area.
Yeah, so. Of course not. So, well, I don't think a tumor is in any good of an area wherever you have it. But
very true.
So they removed that.
The tumor that I had was non-malignant. Mm. So I'm not sure if that was technically considered cancer or a stage of cancer. So
okay, well,
you know, I guess it was benign.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So they removed it. Now, how long did it take you to recover from that?
That's the thing. I'm still recovering from the surgery.
Okay.
Like I was in the wheelchair for probably about 6 months, and I've been on a walker ever since. And just recently, I started using the axillary crutches to get around. So that was
2005, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That you had your surgery.
Yep. And just now, I'm starting to get on the crutches. So.
Oh, wow.
You know, who knows how long it's going to take for me to get rid of those. So I'm still recovering. But
so,
it's taken an awful long time.
Well, I guess so. So did you basically have to learn everything from scratch, like eating and walking and that kind of thing?
Yeah, like after my surgery, I couldn't even sit up. So, you know, I had a specialized wheelchair
mm-hmm.
that would kind of prop me up. And then, you know, I eventually... You know, moved on from that, and you know, I got to sit in a regular wheelchair, and then I started using the walker after that.
Oh wow!
So it's been a very long road, and I'm still on it.
So are you able to do your physical therapy job? Like, can you help people with that while you're recovering?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. Right now, I'm on disability
mm-hmm.
for my physical impairments.
Right.
And, you know, obviously because of that, my career as a physical therapist is in jeopardy, you know, which kind of sucks because,
yeah.
You know, I spent years trying to get that degree and I got to work for almost 2 years. Now I can't do anything with it as of yet. You know, but there's always hope that, you know, I'll go back to physical therapy. But a lot of other doors are starting to open up for me. So I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do after, you know, once I get better.
Well, I think it's, I don't know if it's ironic, but someone who's into physical therapy and now you need physical therapy, that should be helpful to you because you kind of know what you're supposed to do. Or as they say, doctors make the worst patients. Are you one of those?
You know, I'm pretty sure I am because, you know, in my own personal physical therapy sessions, you know, I pretty much question everything.
Right.
So I am probably the, you know, one of the more annoying patients. But, you know, I joke around a lot with my therapist, too. So, you know, make sure that, you know, we at least have a good time and, you know, at least laugh about something.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's the main thing, keeping your positive mental attitude. I mean, you know, I read blog posts and obviously it won't cure you, but it will help you.
You know, oh, yeah.
And like
yeah.
I say, who wants to be upset all the time? I mean, that's no way to go through life. And so through all this process, you wrote a book. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, you know, when I first moved out to San Diego, a lot of my friends here were really into blogging.
Yes.
So what I did was, you know, I kept blogging throughout my diagnosis and my treatments. And what I did is I converted some of those blogs into chapters and whatnot. So that's pretty much how I wrote the book.
Excellent.
The cool thing about it is that, you know, I didn't want it to be like a diary or something. So, you know, I broke it down into different chapters,
mm-hmm.
And I named all the chapters after song titles.
Oh, excellent.
So I created a book soundtrack for the book off of that. And, you know, I'm not an accomplished writer, so, you know, I had some of my friends help me out. I had them write essays about their perspectives with having someone close to them, you know, go through this whole ordeal of dealing with a brain tumor. It was pretty cool. I got my mom, my dad, my brother, a few of my friends, and a couple of my friends that are physical therapists and occupational therapists. So there's definitely a unique perspective on, you know, one person, you know, recovery process from a brain tumor.
And how do they see your recovery process going? Like, are you on track of where you're supposed to be? Are you? I mean, I have a feeling that you're past where you're supposed to be.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, none of the doctors can give me specific, you know, timelines or whatever. You know, so I'm pretty much going. I'm taking it as it comes. You know. Nobody really knows exactly when, you know, I'm going to be 100% recovered or whatever. So, you know, I'm just kind of taking it day by day. And, you know, I honestly don't look past, like, you know, a few months from now, a few months from today. So things are just kind of going as they are.
Well, that's good. You know,
yeah.
But I still think that, you know, we'll keep in touch on Facebook and you're just going to post on Facebook one day that, hey, I'm out of the wheelchair. And no one's going to be surprised. He'll be like, oh,
yeah,
there you go.
Well, yeah, we can hope. Well, you know, that's the thing. I waste so much time on Facebook. If, you know, it's not even funny.
I don't know what you're talking about, Eric. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, did you self-publish the book? And it's called Reversal, When a Therapist Becomes a Patient.
So, one thing that I did run into was that, you know, a lot of the major publishers, you know, they don't really look well on, like, you know, cancer or brain tumor survivor stories. So I ended up just self-publishing because I didn't want to deal with all the hassle of trying to, you know, get accepted or whatever from a publisher. So I did end up self-publishing.
And was that difficult?
You know, the most difficult thing about it was editing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, there's actually four editions of the book Reversal now. And each time, you know, I've improved upon it, you know, wherever I could. Because, you know, I'm kind of a perfectionist, so I always find something that needs to be fixed. But like I said, the editing was probably the biggest pain in the butt.
Right.
And actually, I take that back. I think the marketing is the the biggest pain in the butt.
I bet, and because I know a lot of survivors who say, well, I want to write a book, but it seems like... I know that there's a lot of survivors out there, and they say the same thing, I want to write a book, but, you know, what would separate their book from it? Like you said, every other survivor, and I think, you know, when you're in the medical field and you do become a cancer patient, or luckily it wasn't cancer, but you still have, I would say, some of the same effects that a cancer patient would have. I mean, that's quite unique.
Oh, yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, when I, you know, I really identified with the young adult cancer population because
yes.
the brain tumor population that you know, I found here in San Diego were like people my grandma's age or my mom's age. You know, so, I mean, they'd want to talk about gardening. I wanted to talk about, like, going to the bar or whatever. So, you know, I didn't really relate well in terms of, you know, the social activities that they were into.
Right, and now they said, you were telling me before that your type of brain tumor, mostly older women get that? They were
yeah.
surprised because they said you were 30 years old. You told me you were 30 years old when you were diagnosed.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, I still participated in some of the online, you know, support groups, but, you know,
right.
I really didn't fit in over there. So it was, you know, a very strange situation. You know, I mean, here they are, they're talking about, like, their grandkids.
Yes.
Or they're talking about their kids and whatnot. And I'm like, who wants to talk about football?
Yeah, you know, exactly. So. Well, you're not the first young adult survivor
yeah.
to say that, because I know as with Matthew Zachary's organization,
oh, yeah.
I'm Too Young for This, a lot of young adults who are diagnosed just kind of feel left out, and I kind of felt that way too, and I'm, you know, myself and you and Matt and everyone else in the I2I community are slowly trying to get the hospitals and doctors to see, hey, you know what, young people can get cancer and we have different needs. I mean, I could go into a support group and I, you know, listening to someone talk about their kids and picking up, you know, kids from soccer, and that's not anything that would help me, because I mean, I think
yeah.
I'm kind of an anomaly. I don't have children, but I'm of that age. But, you know, like you said, you go in and people are talking about picking up their grandkids and going shopping, and you're like, well, that doesn't relate to you. So,
well, I mean, that's the thing with, like, the whole young adult survivor community. I've definitely noticed that there are two types of young adult survivors.
Mm-hmm.
There's young adult survivors of pediatric cancer.
Yes.
And then there are the young adults that were diagnosed as young adults.
Right.
We are similar, but, you know, we're two different sets of experiences.
Right. But what I'm saying is we have different needs than the, I would say, the older population, who a lot of the doctors assume,
yeah,
like
definitely.
They assumed with you, I'm sure, and they assumed with me, oh, well, it can't be cancer. Oh, Eric, you can't have a brain tumor because you're only 30. You know, it's got to be something else.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And the thing that we're trying to do is, you know, kind of get the medical community on board by saying, you know what, you can't just automatically assume that. I mean, you can't tell your patient, oh, it's not, and then, hey, guess what it is? You know, I think you have
yeah.
to kind of, you know, give them the news that, well, it's possible that it is this. And, you know, obviously, maybe not worry so much, but you can't just assume that it won't be cancer, because guess what? I mean, as you see and as I see, there's a lot more young people getting diagnosed or having brain cancer or breast cancer or whatever at younger ages than ever before, it seems like.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think what I2I and Matthew Zachary are doing
mm-hmm.
is extremely admirable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I applaud him. And, you know, I started blogging on his... I have to give him props all the time. And,
yeah.
you know, he probably will just, like, blow me off. But I started blogging with him. He started I2I about the same time I was diagnosed. And I really think that meeting him and seeing his mindset really put me on the path that I am, and I'm sure where you are, like, you know what? Cancer just isn't, as I thought before I got it, just an older person's disease. You know, survivorship is very important to young adult survivors, and it's not something that a lot of people touch on, but it's something that we have to, you know, tell the people about, like you. I mean, you're learning how to walk again, basically. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, not,
you know, just imagine a person younger than you who was diagnosed. Imagine the inspiration you could give them by saying, hey, you know, I was 30 and you're whatever age. Yeah. Don't think that you can't do what you did before. I mean, you may not be able to do exactly what you did before, but, you know, you can still live a great life. I mean, you wrote a book. You started this foundation, Mass Kickers. You got to tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I remember, you know, pretty vividly how, you know, scared, confused, and, like, alone I felt, you know, when I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And, you know, Mass Kickers, you know, we want to try to, you know, motivate people, you know, give them support. And we've got two really cool campaigns that we're trying to start to kind of, you know, help people get over that hump. The first part is the Tumor Suck campaign, you know, which is kind of like a campaign, you know, just for general awareness of cancer or brain tumors or whatnot.
Right.
And it's a way to show support for, you know, a patient that's going through those issues, you know, involved with it. You know, and basically all you have to do is, you know, post a logo, wear a sticker, wear a T-shirt on October 25th, which is Tumor Suck Day. And
all right,
know,
is that National
so
Tumor Suck
know.
Day? Do we have to get that approved by someone, or do we have to get Obama on that to have that National Tumor Suck Day?
That would be nice. Maybe that's the next step. but it's kind of a catchy slogan that people can do. You know, it's really kind of in your face. So,
right.
So we just want to attract attention.
And
you know,
and people can buy the Tumor Suck paraphernalia on your website.
Yeah, or I mean, they can even just print out the logo off the website and just post it in their office or wherever they go to school or whatever. Just so people know Tumor Suck. You know, but
well, you don't have to tell me that, Eric. I know Tumor Suck.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We actually have a new campaign that we're just starting up. It's called Use the Cure,
okay.
K-U-R-E. You know, and that's basically using knowledge, promoting unity, supporting research, and basically just empowering yourself.
Excellent.
And that's something that we're just starting. And I guess I'm kind of announcing it here on your radio show.
Awesome.
So that's kind of a big deal. but yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for decades we've been chasing a cure for cancer or for brain tumors or whatnot, and we need a new strategy to attack the actual disease. Searching for a cure is a great thing, and I don't knock it at all, but I'm just saying that we need a different strategy. Seems like the strategy hasn't been working for the past, you know, few decades, so.
I agree.
You know, we definitely need a new approach.
We do, because I tell people my job is to put the oncologists out of business and fill up the golf courses. You know, and that's, I think that's your job as well. But wouldn't it be nice to say, well, you don't need the cancer warrior anymore, and we don't need to have Eric come talk about brain tumors because it's cured. It's over. I mean, how sweet would that be?
That would be pretty damn nice.
I'm trying to put myself out of a job. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But I mean, that would be awesome. And you do inspirational speaking as well, don't you?
Well, what I've done so far is I've gone to physical therapy programs at, like, different schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I talk about my experiences as a young adult rehab patient, former physical therapist, you know, because I pretty much have a pretty unique perspective on a lot of things.
Yes.
You know, coming from a healthcare background.
Do you feel that your care was what you had expected it to be as far as, like, them taking care of you? Or did you feel that, I mean, I don't want to call out any of your doctors, but as far as, like, a young adult survivor, you probably felt, well, they could have done a little more for me because I was a young adult.
You know, this is where things got a little bit interesting.
Okay.
I actually had a surgery where I used to work, so a lot of my coworkers were treating me, so I'm pretty sure I got pretty good treatment from everyone. So especially like the nursing staff and the therapist, because you know I used to go to happy hour with them. So
awesome!
Like, so it was kind of a weird situation at first, but you know, after a while, I think everyone got used to it. But you know, I can't really complain too much about,
well,
you know,
yes,
about my treatment because, you know, I knew exactly what was going on.
Right. Right. I know it's always comforting. I also do a local radio show here, and one of the procedures I had done, they said, do you want to have the radio on? And I asked them to put on one of the stations that I worked on, and just hearing my friend's voice, you know, over the radio, like you said, and having your friends there, it made such a difference at that point. Because,
yeah, you know, definitely.
I mean, and just having a great support system. Like, obviously, I mean, everyone you worked with there was were your friends, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, going through surgery and whatnot is, you know, is a very intimidating thing. So
yes,
having surgery where I used to work, you know, I didn't see it as that big of a deal.
Right.
You know, if anything, it made me feel more comfortable.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it.
Yeah.
It's like going back to the restaurant where you used to work at and just like, oh, I'll just grab a Coke and not exactly the same. Oh, let me get that. Let me get that scalpel for you. No, I wouldn't go there. But
it's just like, go ahead and open my head.
Nope. Yeah, go ahead.
Take that thing out. Go ahead.
Were you awake for that? Was that one of the ones where they have you like awake but not feel it, or were you completely out?
No. They knocked me out for surgery.
That's good.
But you know, ironically, I did see a couple of brain tumor patients when I worked at the hospital over there.
Oh yeah.
So you know, I kind of knew what to expect, but you know, my surgery was like 12 hours.
Wow.
And I was in the ICU for like 8 days.
Ooh.
And in the hospital for like a month afterwards. So, and I was a little bit more severe than what I was expecting.
Yeah, but you're here and you wrote a book and you have a your foundation is Mass Kickers, right? It is a 501c3.
Okay. We just got where we got our 501c3 earlier this year, I think in like April or May or something.
Excellent.
Like,
cuz I know sometimes that takes a while to get that status for whatever reason. So awesome.
Yeah.
So when people buy the Tumor Suck paraphernalia, that goes right in back to your foundation to help others.
Oh yeah. I actually earmarked all of the royalties from both my book and for all the Tumor Suck stuff to go to Mass Kickers Foundation. So,
sweet.
Yeah.
And can people get your book on Amazon or?
Oh yeah. You know, it's actually kind of cool. Like the book is on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com, and the Kindle and I think it's the Nook. Those versions are now available too as e-books.
Oh, that must be pretty exciting for you.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, honestly, I think the e-book is the new way to go.
Yeah, I don't know. I still like the feeling of an actual book, but yeah.
So do I. I think those are starting to get more popular. So
yes, they are. But I, you know, seeing your book in the bookstore, it's got to be just a little more impressive than seeing somebody with it on a Kindle and swiping it with their fingers. You know?
That is true. That is true.
Well, Eric, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and reach out, if they know somebody who has a brain tumor or needs some help, how can they get a hold of you?
They can find me on our website, www.masskickers.org,
okay. And
there's a link on there to my blog, and you know, they can contact me through there, and I'll get back to them.
Excellent. And you're always on Facebook, because I always see you on Facebook too. You're like me, Facebook junkie.
Sadly, so am I. So, yeah, or they can just look me up on Facebook. So,
excellent. Well, thank you for joining us today, Eric. This is The Cancer Warrior. Like I told Eric, you can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie, Mel Majoros. Become a fan of the show, The Cancer Warrior, on EmpowerRadio.com. Check out my blogspot, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And you know what? Life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.